Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 392, the Royal Rumble Review. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is attendee Shah Farm D, also known as Shahid Abdul Hadi. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing fine. I had a wonderful trip to San Antonio, and contrary to belief, I did not leave Sunday night after the event. Because even though it was only a 2-hour, 20-minute drive, that's still a 2-hour, 20-minute drive. So I left Monday morning.
Yeah, that was probably still a better plan. I prefer it. At some point, I guess, when I'm out of town at this point, I'm just like, yeah, I'm just packing it up. I have enough money to stay in a hotel room.
Yeah, no Mick Foley nonsense going here. No. Slumming it with 5 people in a Motel 6. Because he did all that, and he still doesn't have money for his hip surgery. So, yeah. Cold irony.
Oh, yeah, I guess I didn't really look at that. Yeah, that's for all that. Well, he's spent it on trying to become Santa Claus too much.
But no, I got there Saturday. And I left Monday. This is my first time being in San Antonio, so it's a nice city. I didn't go to NXT because originally the plan was for me and my wife to go. She shot while I went to the Royal Rumble, so I picked a nice hotel, like downtown. Then she decides she wants to go visit her mom, so I had a hotel with no parking, so I had to pay for valet parking. And I hadn't planned on going to NXT, so by the time that plan didn't change until like Thursday. So, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it's a little too late to get a ticket at that point.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to pay scalper prices for NXT card that didn't seem strong on paper. It ended up being a good show. So, but no, I was just there strictly for the Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, I think good is a nice way to put that NXT show. Because there was a lot to enjoy, but, well, Rude versus Nakamura was a really good match. I guess I just, it was a little weird how that one ended to me.
It was funny because that's, like, Robert Rude has this funny thing. Like, he has a reverse problem that a lot of, like, WWE people had. Like, he looks like a star. He just didn't wrestle like one since he's been in NXT up until Saturday. It was the first time anything matched. Like, because his entrance was awesome. It reminded me, I know it's cliche. Like, it reminded me like Ric Flair, when Ric Flair had that with the 6 women when he was wrestling like Ricky Steamboat. Like,
yeah.
The role matches the women's dress and everything. Like, it was awesome. And him and Nakamura had awesome chemistry. And it's funny, like, I was watching the match, and it was like a typical Nakamura match, and then he hit the knee, and he started grabbing the knee. And, like, the only reason I knew it was fake is because Nakamura is such a great seller. But, it like, they had it dragged out for, like, a good, what, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, wondering, like, what's going on? And
yeah.
Then, as soon as you realize, you know, it's a sell, Bobby Roode just went straight to the knee and just went into overdrive.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it's one of those things that I was kind of thinking about. Like, in the UFC, when someone gets hurt and they go for the weak point, like, you don't think anything of it. But, like, in wrestling, it seems cheap sometimes, and I don't know why.
Like, it's just this whole cowardly thing. Like, if somebody tweaked their knee, of course you put them in a knee bar. Like, that's what you do in a real fight. But whenever they do it in wrestling, it's like, oh, this coward, he's taking the easy way. I'm like, no, it's called being smart. But I know it's like the whole babyface heel thing. It's like babyfaces are brave and dumb, and heels are smart but cowardly, which is hilarious in like any others. You know, like Bobby Roode did the right thing. It just seemed kind of like cheap. But it also seemed like he earned that win because – you know, Nakamura did not look weak losing that way. And
oh, no.
he's, and it's funny, like, all of his losses have been like that, where he's gotten hurt, or it's been some, you know, low blow nonsense, and then he just loses violently. Not like he gets beat clean. So he doesn't look bad, considering he's lost the belt twice. And he didn't look bad in any of his losses. But the champion didn't really look, even though they did cheap stuff, they didn't look cheap beating him, because they still had to earn the win. And you figured it was going to happen, because it was kind of like, once Bobby Roode got there, and he got over with that whole entrance.
Yeah.
Like, you figured he was going to be champion eventually when Nakamura leaves, which kind of leads to Sunday. So, but yeah. Like, that whole show was basically kind of a thing where the people that lost, you figure they're going to move on to do other stuff eventually. And the people that won is like, well, Roode is fine with the tag team match. It's like, I guess.
Yeah, the tag team match, I guess those guys look good for the Authors of Pain, I should say. Because I've liked Tommaso Ciampa for a long time. Like, he was one of the few highlights to me in my early time of watching ROH TV recently. You know, the last 3 or 4 years, whatever it's been at this point. And I've loved Gargano since, well, I saw him wrestle in the small time. So I mean, when you have a team win the Dusty Classic, that's another one where you can just, the writing's kind of on the wall.
Yeah. Well, you kind of figured they were just for something, considering, like, they didn't drag Paul Ellering from wherever he was for nothing. And these are two, like, big guys that can move. Big guys that can move will always be fine at wrestling, don't you, for your own feet. So it's like, they're imposing.
Yeah.
They look, their offense looks vicious. It's just like, you can tell they're young and kind of like they don't have the ring time, but it's...
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of people in NXT like that, where it's not just people left, it was a lot of talent that left. And like, the people that are left is kind of like, you know, either in the case of like Bobby Roode or Roderick Strong, just got there, or the right people, like, they need time. Like, you know, it's funny, you only think about, like, the Shield was in NXT or FCW for a while before they became up. Like, Bayley, Sasha Banks, and Charlotte have been, you know, like, especially Bayley and Sasha Banks, like, they wrestled indies before they got to NXT, and then they were in NXT for, what, 2 years, 3 years, maybe four, like, 4 years before they became, like, big time, what you see now. And right, then you got like the Office of Pain and the Australian Girls. It's kind of like, you know, 2 years from now they'll be fine, but unfortunately it's not 2 years from now, it's like, it's right now, and it's a whole bunch of, in 2 years these people will be fine, and you got a big roster full of that, and it kind of knows. It's like NXT is still good, but it's not like I have to watch NXT when it's Neville wrestling or Sami Zayn wrestling or Kevin Owens wrestling. Like, beside, like, Nakamura, Asuka, and DIY, it's just a bunch of, well, that's nice.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think that was something that got brought up kind of in the early days, and it really is at that point where NXT is, like, an actual developmental at this point. Like, they're kind of, there are still some guys, like you pointed out, Roode, Strong, Nakamura, that are kind of down there, that do have a lot of experience. And a lot of people, you know, they need experience, and, you know, and the Authors of Pain are certainly one of them. And, you know, like you said, it might be a couple of years, but it's going to take some time.
Yeah, well, at least they have the benefit of they know it's time, and they don't necessarily have to rush. And WWE is cool again, so indie people before, it's like, well, I'll never make it, so why even bother going to WWE? Like, now it's a thing where it's not surprising to see, like, Roderick Strong in an NXT ring. You would have never guessed that maybe, like, even 2 years ago.
Agreed.
Like, no, considering, like, the fact that, like, Austin Aries is hurt, or Tommy is hurt, but it's kind of like, before it would have been, oh, they're too small. And now it's like, you know, if you can work, you can get a chance. Like, even Chris Hero came back. I would have never guessed he would have came back, you know, considering what happened the first time. Was like, anything's possible in this day and age when it comes to wrestling. Like, if you got two legs and you don't have, like, too much of a checkered pass, you got a chance. They just have, like, a lot of young people. Like, in the women's division, you got Asuka, Ember Moon, and what's the girl from Sandy name? Nikki, can't think of her last name. Nikki Cross.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then under them, you got everybody. Like, you got Billie Kay, Peyton Royce, and Liv Morgan, and Aaliyah, and Mandy Rose, and Daria. Like, they're all new. Like, you got, like, 7-8 women, like, the same amount of experience. Asuka can only wrestle so many people at, like, one time. And her whole thing, and it's funny, like, her whole storyline is, like, I've beaten everybody, and who's left's not good enough. And it's funny, like, that's a storyline, considering that's the truth. Like, they had to bring Mickie James in, and then she's on SmackDown. Like, Ember Moon, they're probably saving that. So, really, it's like Nikki Cross, because, I don't know, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, they're a nice combo, and they're funny and everything like that. It's not believable that they can hang with Asuka, even both of them at the same time.
Yeah, well, I think that's why I can't remember which of the two took the pin, whether it was Royce or Billie Kay. Whatever it was, I mean, they took Nikki Cross out in the match, I think, to kind of at least give her some props that it took, you know, tossing her through a table to get her out of it. So, yeah, it seems like her taking on Asuka would be the next step here.
Yeah, like, you can see her eventually beating Asuka when they decide Asuka's ready to go to WWE. And then have Ember Moon beat Nikki Cross. Like, it's funny how they work that. Like, you know, guy A will lose to guy B, so guy A will go to the main show, and then guy B gets ready for guy C. Watch rinse repeat. They do that both with the men and the women.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad system, and I mean, it seems like, it does give them some type of credibility when they come up too, if you can say that they were an NXT champion.
Mm-hmm. Except for, like, with the women, Asuka's probably the best woman in the company, but they want to keep her NXT because they don't have anything, like, they need her NXT. Don't really have anything else, and putting her on WWE, and her, like, if she's up there, she's got to win, and I don't know if they're ready for that. Like, you got a lot of women stars. Like, you put her on SmackDown, she blitzes everybody on SmackDown, and it's even worse on Raw. Like, she's beating, like, they've made Nia Jax a monster. She's beating her clean, like, 3 times, and, like, the last 2 times have been kind of, like, fairly easy, so... Yeah, you can't have her on there and then lose to Dana Brooke. So it's kind of like best where it's like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Like, she can't be there and be a jobber. So it's best if she's not going to be pushed, she shouldn't be on the main roster.
Yeah, she's kind of limited. I mean, I guess it, like you said though, like I would think personally that being on Raw would be a little bit better just because Nia Jax is, you know, as big as she is, and Charlotte's there too. So, you know, they kind of have the bigger the roster there. I mean, I know Sasha isn't, but you know, those couple would be present the biggest challenge, and they'd be probably close to the top of the heap.
Like, she would fit better, but that whole, oh, you got this girl here, she can't even speak English, and yada, yada, yada. And they're like, because I do not trust Raw when it comes to that. It's funny how Raw and SmackDown run by the same person, but it might as well be Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Like, I would rather have her on SmackDown and just have her be like a badass Japanese wrestler and not be on Raw and they treat her like, you know, how they used to treat to Jerry. Like a man baby that can kick your head off. Like, like, she'll be on Raw and then spit and miss in somebody's face within like a week. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but that's a that is a very good summation. Oh man, man baby, who could kick your head off? Okay. Well, I mean, we could go ahead and kick on off to the actual event that that you attended there.
Yeah, there's one thing I want to do before we go into it because it's kind of late.
Okay.
I remember going to, what was it? Dallas. And I remember like Todd Dillinger. Like, I remember Todd Dillinger. I'm like, this guy seems like a joke. Like, it was like right after Dallas Mania. It was like something just, I don't know, the crowd just wrecked this out. We're going to like him all of a sudden. Because between him last year and him this year is amazing. You know, like,
Okay.
I don't know how it came off on TV. Like, I remember NXT, like, he was popular. He was probably the, beyond like the big guys, probably the most over, like regular size guy at the Rumble. And I was amazed. Like, how did this, I know it's like people like chanting stuff, but I'm just watching, like, how? That's what I was thinking the whole time. Like, watching NXT and watching Royal Rumble. Like, how this skinny Canadian guy with this goofy jacket on, like,
Yeah, and he was getting booed for the 10 thing before that.
yeah.
Like, because that's why I mean, I asked the question, and you've probably watched NXT more consistently, but yeah, I was like, I don't understand what happened between Dallas and now. Like, I'm still a little confused on why, because, and Jeremy even talked about it in the preview, like, how exciting it was going to be if, or how bummed people were going to be if Ty Dillinger wasn't number 10 in the Royal Rumble. And I'm
Oh, I had
like,
made a joke saying it'd be hilarious if it's number 10 and like Drew Gulak came out.
huh?
Just imagine how the crowd would crap over that, considering like something similar happened at 30, but no. I saw the same thing, because it's kind of like, I remember him like being a joke and they booed that saying like this guy's delusional and everything like that. And right after that Dallas Mania, it started to change. I have no idea why, and it kind of like happened like gradually and organically,
Right.
but something just clicked. I don't know if it's like, you've been here, you paid your, maybe it's like an ECW thing where it's like, you've been here, you paid your dues, we like you now, but I don't get it, but it's legit. It's not just the whole we just chant 10 thing, which is fans like chant anything. It's like they like him. I don't know why they like him. But they like him. And it wasn't just an NXT crowd, because I remember when I was going out and about in San Antonio, like a few wrestling fans we talked to brought up Ty Dillinger.
Oh,
So it's kind of like, yeah. So
it really is like that.
that's how you know. Like, when they, it's funny, like last year, we didn't realize how big a New Day was because a third of the fans we saw had New Day
Oh,
merchandise or
yeah.
dressed like the New Day. That's how you kind of know. And it's funny where last year and this year, we can jump in a Rumble. I know people, I always say like the Bellas are more popular than people give them credit to. We saw people dressed up as Nikki Bella.
Oh.
Like, not just wearing a shirt, like the wrestling outfit. Teenage girls and grown-up women that actually had the body to pull it off. Like, dress. Had the top on, the hat backwards, the shorts, the shoes, and the socks.
Wow,
Like,
that is
yes, like
some.
people watch Total Divas that may not necessarily watch wrestling, and people tend to like crap on that. It's like a million people still watch that show every week, and that show's been on for a while. So,
Yeah, they that show still gets more viewers than TNA. So, well, we can always keep things in perspective, hopefully, in that department. Yeah, I at some point, I guess the whole Bella's thing. I'm like, man, they're just crazy over. Like, you know, I think that and I'm trying to think of who else I've said that about recently, but and I can't think who it was. But at some point, you just kind of recognize that even if you don't like someone when they've been around for that long, they, you know, they've been doing something right and connecting with some fans.
Yep, and it's the thing where, I mean, they're likable. Not necessarily on TV, but not like wrestling TV, but they're relatable. I think, oh. Which is hilarious considering one dates John Cena and one is married to Daniel Bryan, and they both look the way they do. But it's something relatable. Like the same thing Jerry was saying about Naomi. Like, she's likable.
Oh.
Yeah. And yeah. You compare that to like somebody like Natalya that is just a horrid human being. Like, and we used to wonder, like, is she acting like that? Is she really like that? I think she's really like that in real life. Like, and kudos to SmackDown for pushing her that way. But that whole, I deserve this because my last name is Heart Crack. And you need to respect the business like me because I'm such and such Heart. And yeah, like, that got old fast. And even on the show, she comes off like that. Like, ugh. So, but enough of them. Let's get to the Rumble.
Yeah, that match really that they were involved in doesn't need to be gone over really at all.
Yeah, like I didn't see the pre-show because I'd like to see I'm gonna be a regular person, just have fun, and we'll show up at, you know, the event. Like I figured it was gonna be two matches in the pre-show. I didn't realize it was three because they moved the women's six man from the pre-show to. They moved it from the regular show to the pre-show.
Right.
So it was like three matches. So I got there at 6. Cam was trying to help a friend see if she could buy a ticket like last minute. So he didn't get in his seats until maybe about 6:20, 6:30. The Alamo Dome is unique where you don't realize how big it is until you get there. Like, I compare it to a super arena. It's more like a super arena than a small stadium. Like, it sits, like, around 50-something thousand people.
Yeah, that's the one weird thing. Like, I know that they use it for, like, the NCAA tournament a lot. And you always see part of it kind of blocked off, but you can tell how huge it is. And, yeah, because the crowd, and they were, again, pimping it on Raw, it is 52,020. It is really weird. Like, that isn't... It's probably about... You know, a good 10,000 seats, at least, short of even the smallest of stadiums. But most arenas fit like 18,000 or something in that vicinity. So yeah. I mean, it's interesting size.
Yeah, and it hit the sweet spot where it is long. Like, it felt like a WrestleMania crowd, like how large it was, but it wasn't so big where sound seemed to vanish. Like, a lot of times, like, it felt like, of course, you know, bigger the better because you get that money. But that's like an optimum size, like, wrestling, where you can, if you had passionate fans, because the fans were definitely into it. Sound was perfect, though. The views, like, we were in section 136, row 2. It's a straight shot to the ring. Like, I could see directly to the ring. I felt bad for everybody on the floor because I learned my lesson about, like, unless you're in the first two rows,
Seats
are a waste of time.
Yeah. We had that experience when we went to WrestleMania in Detroit. So we're like, awesome, we'll be on the field. But we were like one riser up. And we were like almost as far away from the ring as you could get. And it's just, yeah, you need a little bit of verticality in there to be able to see the ring better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, so I tell everybody, try to get riser seats or section one, like the section 100s are the sweet spot as far as like price and viewpoint.
Yeah.
We were basically row 2. So it was on like row ahead of us. And then it's floor and ring. And like the viewpoint was fine. What was not fine was the concessions.
I still can't believe this, but because I was wondering, did you get caught in that? Wasn't there a problem at the Superdome when we were all at WrestleMania?
Yeah, that was a problem sitting down just to get in. Where everything stopped moving for 20, 30 minutes. It was almost a avalanche, like people were getting crushed because no one knew which way to go. Yeah, and I remember okay. that being bad enough. Like, people on, like, the Torch and Wrestling Observer were complaining about it. Like, so it wasn't just us, because, and it couldn't have been with that many people.
Okay, so I'm like, oh, man, I was like, is this the second time Shahid's gotten caught in something ridiculous?
Yes, it is the second time. You're absolutely right. So,
oh, okay.
No, so basically, and I might as well get out the way now, so we decided to get food before the Cruiserweight match, because we're seeing them change the ropes. It's like, okay, they got to change the ropes, have a video package. At most, we'll miss one match, because if they give it time and they got to take the ropes off, another video package is like 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
We missed that match, and we missed almost the entire Cena-Styles match. Like, I got back to my seat right for like the last 2 minutes of that match. So, and that match was 24 minutes.
Yeah.
So think about that. So we were in line for maybe, what, 50 minutes to get fries and a damn burger. I was beyond, like, only general principle made me stand that damn line to get food. Because I was, at least I got food, because some places, like, they ran out of chicken tenders. Some places that had people waiting in line, they ran out of food. I'm like, what are you? You didn't think people were going to come? Like, what happened? How do you run out of food at a sports event?
Yeah, I got no idea on that one.
And it wasn't like near the end of the show, like right before the Royal Rumble, where you feel like people ran out of food. It's an hour and a, it's like, what, an hour and a half in? Maybe 2 hours in? Like,
yes.
Yeah, that left a sour taste in my mouth. But beyond that, I had a good time watching the shows. And it was funny how comparing it to, because this is like the first non-WrestleMania pay-per-view I've been to.
Oh, okay.
And this is also the first one where I've watched the show after to see how it came off on TV compared to how it came off live. And there's some differences.
And, yeah, there is one difference that's already hit the interwebs. But you got the first-hand sight at the big man cart.
Oh, yeah, since we're just talking all about the show. So, we didn't pick up after until the second time it happened. So, we're watching it. And I think it was, who was it? Braun Strowman. Yeah. So he comes out, he lifts his arm up, they're playing this music, we're wondering what's happening. He starts walking. And then next thing we know, he just zooms down the line. I'm like, is he on a Dragon Ball Z cloud? We're watching and we just start laughing. Like, because basically you see him and you see him grab the handles of the cart, but that's all you see. Like, you don't see the bottom of the cart and you don't see the guy driving the cart. So it's looking like he just stands on the cart. And somebody takes a zip line and just zips his ass down the lane. Because we knew it was long, but I didn't realize how long that walkway was until I watched it on TV. I think one of my friends said it's like 65 yards.
Yeah, that was one. They showed it kind of early on. And I mean, I even think on the pre-show itself, because when I was listening to it, I think they mentioned something about how you need to conserve energy and just take your time to get down to the ring. Like, so even some of the announcers had kind of mentioned how long it was to the ring. But the cart part kills me.
Yeah, and then it was funny, like, we were wondering, like, who's going to get the cart treatment. So, Braun Strowman got it. Mark Henry got it. Big Show got it, Bray Wyatt, and Big E.
Oh, Bray?
The five I remember. Big E was having fun with, like, he was doing, like, a little dance while he was on the cart, and people started laughing. And we were making jokes like, okay, is The Undertaker going to get on it, tell him to put the speed to 0.5, have, like, fire shoot out the rims, and smoke come out the back? Like, how's this going to work? Because we're like, there's no way his old ass is going to take that walk. Like, he'd still be walking if he had to do that. So, I don't know how... Hey, Kane, I haven't watched on TV yet. WWE is real slick with it. So, his music hits. Everybody's looking at, you know, the entrance. They see the fire. They see the Titantron. Because it's like an awesome view. Lights go, come back on. Undertaker's in the ring. And we're like, where the hell did he come from? I still don't know where he came from. Like, he just teleported. Like, I didn't see him come from under the ring. And it's kind of like you weren't looking at the ring. Like, you were looking at the stage, so you're not looking at the ring. So you don't see him until he's there. And then we all said the whole, like, era. I was like, holy shit, the Undertaker's in the ring. Where'd he come from? And it was the same way with Braun Strowman had run down at the Roman Reigns match, because we didn't see Braun until Roman saw Braun. Like, he just popped out of nowhere. And we were watching the match and watching them, but they are real slick about that. Like, I always wonder how they pull it off. Like, you're not looking for them, so you don't see them until they're there.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where I always feel like it reminds me of Kalisto's entrance, where they use the trampoline, but you never see it at all. They kind of let you believe that there's some type of super jump involved in the whole act to just kind of give it a little more awe.
I felt bad when I realized it was a trampoline. Because I was wondering, like, how did he do, like, maybe he's, was he a Mexican Olympian? Like, how's he making that jump? And then I think I just noticed the trampoline, like, when I saw him, like, at Mania or something like that. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, because otherwise, if he could jump that high, he wouldn't be wasting his time wrestling.
Yeah, I'm sure he could get paid better in some other line of work, I would imagine.
Okay, so... I guess we could, like, go through, like, the title matches and then the Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm trying to think, because Styles Cena was second. Owens Reigns was first, as far as the title,
like,
matches.
It started with Bayley Charlotte, then it was Reigns, Owens, then it was the... Cruiserweight Classic match. It was a Cruiserweight match. And then Cena Styles and then the Rumble.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, the Cruiserweight's a buffer match? I am not surprised by this.
Yeah, like, even when we weren't watching the Cena Styles match, like, you could tell what matches were hot based on the crowd. Like, the Bayley-Charlotte match, people like Bayley. They booed Charlotte. It was like the crowd was funny, where it wasn't that, it was a smart crowd, but they still cheered who they liked.
Oh.
Like, you know, Bayley got cheered. It wasn't like, you know, Charlotte was getting cheered a lot. Like, Charlotte was getting booed because he was fighting Bayley. And the match, like, it seemed like it ended anti-climax. Like, they were having a good match, and it was hard hitting. And then she just hit that natural selection and then pinned her. And we were like, that's it. Like, that's the feeling we had. Like, people weren't expecting that to be the finish, even though it was, like, a devastating finish.
Yeah, that was one that I was kind of surprised myself. I'm like, huh? So I did my own double take with that one, just because I know that Charlotte uses that as a finisher from time to time, and they did sell her doing it on the ring apron. But they didn't really, I still didn't really expect it, I guess, even though the announcers were doing their job for a change.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like she's used that finisher to win matches, but it's just the way they had it set up, because it's like she hit it on the apron, then rolled her in the ring and it pinned her. It was like, it's a lot of stuff just to get the pin. You wouldn't expect, like, Bayley to be down all that time, but it ended. The Roman Reigns Kevin Owens match was funny. Because one, Roman Reigns was the most hated person on that card. It was not close. Like, but it was different. Like, his hate escalated throughout the night, because the first match, it was like, you know, they like Kevin Owens, they love Chris Jericho, they would boo Roman Reigns but cheer his moves. Almost like that John Cena, like, we don't really hate you, what we just pretend to do. Like, that part.
Oh.
Like, they would cheer his, like, his awesome stuff he was doing. Because Roman Reigns' problem isn't in-ring stuff. It's like his character. His in-ring stuff is fine, and it's impressive. Like, seeing him in person slinging around big-ass Kevin Owens, like, it's not a problem. It's very impressive live, and they were both working their ass off. When they did the chair setup, it was kind of like, okay, somebody's going to go through this sooner or later. We don't know when. So when Kevin Owens finally goes through with a Superman punch, people pop for that. Kevin Owens' frog splash through the table just looked vicious because Kevin Owens looks like a damn refrigerator falling off that top rope. He's so big where his offense looks painful because he's like a damn sink just falling on you.
Yeah, I mean, and he really, like, he kind of got Roman Reigns' front half, which made it look a little bit worse too, because it kind of crushed them into the barricade there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because I mean, Owens just uses his weight for his offense.
It works.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and when he did the stunner, that got a big pop.
Oh.
Because it just came out of nowhere. Like, he just did a kick and he's a split leg stunner. Like, for a big man, he moved. Like, I know Dancing Bear is an old ass term, but that works perfectly for Kevin Owens because he's like light on his feet and moves quicker than he should based on that size. So, stunner and stomps got a pop. Braun Strowman coming out of nowhere was just, one, it seemed like he just, Braun Strowman on TV looks imposing. Braun Strowman live looks like a damn horror villain. Like, because no one that big should move that fast. And he moves, like, not fast for being big, fast period. Like, that man can move. And he just came out of nowhere. That choke slam that did not break the table looked so damn painful. And of course, the crowd's like chanting, "Thank you, Strowman," and doing the yes points in the air. Like, it was just hilarious. Like, they did not want Roman Reigns to win this match. So,
oh my God, yeah, that outfit is pretty terrible.
Oh, you seen him look like the damn Riddler? Like, that has to be on purpose. Like, who let him out the house like that? It was what I was thinking. Like, no one loves him. Man. So.
I know that watching on TV, things can be deceptive. You know, Strowman's just crazy. Like, it, just his size and everything. Like, I don't think that there's any way to get around how fast he moves.
Yeah, because he's not just big. And he's not just muscular. He's not just, like, athletic. He's all of them. Like, if he'd been around in the 80s, he'd be a millionaire working with Hulk Hogan. Like, he'd been perfect Hulk Hogan villain. Like, people shouldn't exist. Like, he's somebody that, like, shouldn't exist in, like, real life. Like, people that damn big, and because it's not like, you know, because they got plenty of, like, big guys, like, tall guys. But they don't have guys that's, like, I'm trying to think, like, imagine if Kevin Sullivan was, like, a foot taller. That's Braun Strowman. Like, that's how he's built. Like, he's built like Kevin Sullivan's granddad. With athletic ability. And, you know, it's when he first came, people were like, oh, is this this big guy, yada, yada, yada. And they just gave him time. Like, they did the whole Umaga, Rusev was like, let's just push him so people can get used to how imposing he is. We add a little bit each week. And they got to the point now where, like, Jeremy loves him. Like, people like him. Like, and I've always said, people don't mind Vince guys as long as they're pushed the way that they like. Like, Braun Strowman's not the champ. And so they don't mind Braun Strowman. Like, it's fine him being a monster because he's just being a monster. And each week he's getting a little bit more. Like, no one mind Brock Lesnar winning the title that fast because Brock Lesnar was awesome.
Right.
He was eternal. Like, when Brock got pushed super fast before they thought he was ready, they didn't like him. And as soon as he start doing entertaining stuff and got pushed slowly, they loved him. That's always been a thing with, like, you know, that whole quote-unquote WWE guys. Like, if they like you, they don't care how fast they push you. As long as kind of, like, they push you in a way where they can get used to you. Or they feel like you earned it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's pretty crazy still how fast Braun Strowman is... has earned it, especially with, like you said, the crowd's approval. I mean, even from just watching without sound, the approval of them being happy about Braun Strowman getting a title match at this point.
Yeah. And it was straightforward. It's kind of like, you said if I helped you, I get the title match next. Here's the video that you said it. Now give me my match, I'll beat your ass. Like, that's it. It's funny how they're booking him the way they should book Roman Reigns. And...
Oh, yeah.
I'll get the Reigns late at the Rumble. It's kind of like, yeah. It was one type of hate at that title match, and it was completely different type of hate later. Like, real hate. But we'll get to that when we get to that match.
Well, I mean, we kind of hodgepodged on some of the matches, but you mentioned that Charlotte and Bayley was the first of the four title matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose we should start there.
Well, we kind of talked
about the finisher. So
surprised by the ending, and they kept it going.
Yeah.
The Cruiserweight match didn't have a lot of fire, just because it's funny, like, Neville's I love that he's in the Cruiserweight division. He's overqualified. Like, you see, like, the Jack Gallaghers and Mustafa Ali's and TJ Perkins and Brian Kendricks, and they all look one way. And then you see this damn muscled-up goblin that can do everything they do but looks bigger than all of them. Like, who's beating him? It was like when Benoit was the Cruiserweight champion in WCW. Like, him at 215 looks a lot different than Chris Jericho at 215. Like, all cruiserweights ain't equal.
Oh. Yeah, and I mean, even compared, like, Tony Nese is the only guy to me that's kind of in the Neville neighborhood, but Neville still makes him look kind of small.
Yeah, like, Tony Nese looks like a real small guy that just got pumped up in the gym. Neville just looks like a short monster, but he can do all the athletic stuff the small guys can do, but he's just bigger and stronger than all of them. It's like, it's fun, like, it's almost unfair, but the crowd loves him because, you know, he looks imposing, he wrestles like a badass and fights like a badass, and since he became ill, he's beating everybody. And like Jeremy said, why would you boo him except for the way he looks? You know, like, he's awesome. He got misused. He wins. And
yeah.
Especially when you got phonies like TJ Perkins walking around, like, TJ Perkins can kick rocks. You know, yeah, Rich Swann, I know your parents died, but you and your goofy dancing can kick rocks too. Ryan Kendrick, you and your old crack habit can also kick rocks. Like, no. Mustafa Ali complaining that, you know, my last name's Ali and I'm from a Middle Eastern country, so they boo me. Is factually correct, but I'm Muslim. I don't care about that. I don't even care about that. I'm on the same team as you, so I want to watch Neville beat people up.
I mean, it's kind of a common theme with some of these people because, I mean, Neville really is another guy that the people are still cheering him. You know, because he is. He's just going out there and whooping everyone in the cruiserweight division. And then that's that.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, the people that could hang with him aren't there yet. Like, Akira Tozawa and Grand Metalik, like, they coming soon. So, because they would have awesome matches, but you know, they're saving them for a later date. And Jack Gallagher is awesome, but he's too damn small. Like, unless it's kind of like I trick you into a win, and I think they're saving him. Like, they realize they had something special for him, because think about, like, he was really the only cruiserweight that was in the Rumble, and he's probably the most over, like, besides Neville, he's the most over cruiserweight, because he has a like an actual personality and a character, and they give him time. Like, him and Navarri have gotten a lot of time, and they both gotten over for him, so...
Yeah, it's always funny what a little mic time will do for you. You know, I still don't know quite as much about Daivari, but you at
he's
least
the Middle Eastern. He's the Middle Eastern that you're allowed to boot.
Oh man, yeah, that's a good way to put it. So, I mean, that covers the cruiserweights, honestly, because, Swan still isn't over. Like, he hasn't had that much TV, or, you know, mic time himself. And even when he does, he seems kind of like an energetic guy, but he doesn't seem all that focused, I think, sometimes.
Like, Swan has a character, like, Swan is charismatic, but I think they don't know how to use it yet. And... I think the biggest issue is they just throw them on Raw and, like, go do stuff. And that doesn't work, like, Raw crowd. That would work on a SmackDown crowd, but not, like, Raw is just... It's fun, like, Raw just has its own vibe where it's more like, you know, you gotta have this outlandish... You gotta have a character. Because they're not gonna give you enough mic time unless you're a star. And they're not gonna give you a lot of ring time unless you're a star. But it's kind of like a Catch-22, so... Neville at least has been given more, you know, mic time and stuff as Charlotte comes doing her stripper flip. But it's just the way it is, you know. Hopefully it improves. I'm wondering who they have, like, you know. At least the benefit is with Neville being the champion, they got a lot of faces they can wrestle. Like, they got plenty of people that he can wrestle and beat until they decide who's going to be the guy to beat him.
Yeah, it, and I guess I don't think that that's, really a bad thing, honestly. You know, just let the other people develop a little bit more, because, you kind of already introduced Neville before this. I mean, you know, people know him a little bit better. It gives them a name brand, I guess, to go with the cruiserweights. Mm-hmm. And it seems like he's going to be able to deliver on that.
Yeah, like, he's where he should be. Because everyone said when they started cruiserweight division, Neville should be there. Even though he seemed like he's almost above that. Because, and giving him mic time, and, like, basically, he's basically telling the truth. You guys don't like me because I look funny and speak funny. And y'all don't respect me because of that. That's it. That's the only reason you're booing me. So kiss my ass. I'm going to show you why I'm special. And that's how they booked him. Like, they booked him like he's on SmackDown. And this happens to be on Raw and 205 Live. And he comes off like a badass. He wrestles like a badass. And he looks more imposing than all these other jokers. Like, it's funny you got... I mean, Body Beautiful shouldn't be a thing, but it's still noticeable. Like, he walks around with a damn 10-pack. Doing 450s, and that superplex looks painful. Like, and it's something like a simple move like that just gets you over. Like, it's just simple. Like, he doesn't even do, like, the high flying stuff that much anymore.
Well,
his stuff is like, I do simple stuff, I just make it look imposing.
Yeah, that's kind of been an impressive part to me, is how much he's, switched up his arsenal in the meantime to kind of suit the character more. And it's pretty cool to see that level of versatility. So, yeah, I mean, he's a good character for them to hang their hats on.
With those ears, you can hang up pretty big hat, so.
So I think we've got the first three title matches. Well, we didn't really get Reigns and Owens out of the way.
We talked about it kind of like we went over the spots and stuff and how it ended.
I forgot to mention, I guess, at least, that I still can't believe how little Chris Jericho played a role in that.
Yeah, I mean, he was just there, noticeable. He dropped the brass knucks. It was kind of like, I think you focusing your eyes on Jericho and people thinking, like, maybe he gets out the cage comes down, distract you from when Braun Strowman came out. Because I know that happened with us. Like, we were just looking at Jericho. Like, we noticed when he dropped the knuckles, but the rest of the time, we're just watching the match. And we're wondering, like, okay, if somehow hit a leverage, the cage going to come down. Is he going to slip out the cage and everything? And it's like, you'll focus so much on Chris Jericho, you don't even think about anybody else coming in. And it's almost where, and it played into the promo with Stephanie Hab, like, they basically made Mick Foley look stupid. Like, he did the whole stipulation to prevent, you know, Jericho from interfering. Jericho did drop the nuts, but that really didn't play into the match. Like, he didn't interfere in the match, but Braun Strowman came in. And the only reason that was allowed, because they made it a no DQ match. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, is that Mick's fault? Is the Stephanie set that up? And it's like, you know, they basically had that match play out for a way for Mick Foley to look stupid. And that's been happening a lot lately since he's been Raw GM. And, ugh.
Yeah, well, that's still just another aspect of Raw that's a bit annoying, is just the evil heel GM kind of situation that they have going on Raw. I'm completely okay with the basically non-existent Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
But, so I guess then, since we got to that one, there is the, of course, the, I guess the most controversial finish of the night with, Cena becoming a 16-time champion.
You know what's weird? The crowd was pro-Cena. Like, I mean, they liked AJ Styles, but it wasn't like, you know, they did the cute boo like the Cena sucks thing, but they liked John Cena in San Antonio. Like, they were behind John Cena, and it's a shame that I didn't get to see the match, like, live. Like, I heard it, so that's how you knew stuff happened. Like, watching the network made me miss it even more. Like, they had an awesome-ass match. And it's almost like I made the post online in the group. Like, it's a, you know, Rocky Balboa, Apollo Creed, where John Cena's not necessarily a great wrestler, but he wrestles great and have great matches. Because he's clumsy as can be, but he can hang with anybody. And he'll surprise a lot of stuff. Like, the stuff he does, like, seems important. It doesn't always look crisp. It definitely doesn't always look clean. But it seems impactful because he's so damn big. And his cardio is so, like, he has great cardio for somebody that lug around that muscle. Where even, like, something, like, those clothes, like, he was murdering AJ Styles. Like, little stuff.
When he deadlifted Styles and then tossed him in the air before Styles came down, I'm like, holy shit, man.
Yeah, and David, I'm glad I watched it. Like, you know how you watch and you don't pay attention to commentary? That match, I wanted to strangle David Otunga when I rewatched that. He's going on and on about John Cena's physique. Like, oh, when John Cena's veins start throbbing, that means there's trouble for AJ Styles. I'm sitting like, what the hell are you talking about? And, like, if you're AJ Styles and you see John Cena takes his shirt off with a physique like that, how do you handle that? And JBL is, like, looking at it like, you moron. Like, what are you talking about? And they argue about deadlift. Like, that's not really a deadlift because he didn't have the proper footwork. And yada, and JBL's like, who gives a damn what it's called? It looks amazing. And I'm just listening to that and just, like, what the hell is going on? But that match was awesome. And, like, AJ Styles, some people are just special. AJ Styles is a superhero. And I always knew he was good. I didn't realize how good he was until he went to WWE. Like, and I rewatched the match. Everything he does looks amazing, effortlessly. Like, it just looks like a video game. Like the his timing is on point. Those forearm clotheslines and the Cena sitting down. Like, they show the replay. It's like he looks like a work of art. Like, that takes athletic ability. When he picked up Cena in that Argentine backbreaker, like had him in a torture rack and then stumbled for a powerbomb, I'm like, do people not realize that Cena outweighs him by probably like 40 pounds? And he's just lifting him like, no problem. People like AJ Styles isn't that big, but he's like, he's phenomenal. Like, it's amazing what he can do in the ring and how he sells. Like, I'm mad, even though it's probably better that didn't happen, that he just got into WWE now. Like, you just think of all the great matches he could have had with people like the CM Punks and Daniel Bryan and stuff like that. Like, it just would have been off the chart. But
I definitely watched that time period in TNA when he could have been doing that stuff, and he had kind of checked out. Like, it's kind of funny, like, in hindsight, I see, like, when I started watching ROH, Kevin Owens had checked out. You know, yeah. He just wasn't having good matches anymore, and they needed a different and a better challenge, and I'm glad both of them found their way to the WWE.
Yeah, I think I would have enjoyed that match more. Like, the only reason... It's two reasons why Cena wouldn't bother me. One is because, based on how the Rumble ended and how things are going, Cena to tie the record only to probably lose the belt in 2 weeks seems like a waste of time. Like, just have AJ keep it and then have him lose Elimination Chamber, like, and would have been fine. Although Cena looked real emotional when he won. Like, him and Charles, like, even we were watching it in the crowd, like, him and Charles Robinson was kind of talking. They were both about to cry. I don't know what they were saying to each other, but it's like, it's fitting Charles Robinson was there, how close he is to Ric Flair. Like, I'm sure that wasn't an accident that he was the referee for that match. But I know you guys joked about it, like me and Chris were on the same page for that promo. If he had not cut that promo, I wouldn't have been as, you know, like, yeah, he won, but that's cool. But that, good God, that SmackDown nonsense was just hard. It's like, I told Jeremy, and like he was saying, like when he first watched it, he's paying attention. Like, you're paying attention to the tone, paying attention to words. Like, imagine if Triple H did that, and think about how you feel. Like, that's how John Cena was acting. He was acting like Triple H used to act, and how everybody, rightfully so, used to trash Triple H. Like, you know, oh, it's this guy from Atlanta, and I don't need to know your name because you're the guy below the guy, and I'm not built for the Indies. And that's why I'm not in the Indies. And I'm thinking, like, one, he beat you 3 times in a row. He's champion. You just waltzed your ass in here after, like, 3 months off and got top shot. Two, it's like, you're talking this whole, I'm not built for the Indies. You are one Vanilla Ice rap away from getting fired. Like, people forget that now. Like, you know, there was a time when John Cena was like, well, maybe he ain't built for WWE. Like, he was going to be gone with Bull Buchanan and the rest of them. And he just happened to spit a freestyle. He got his feet under him, and now John Cena is John Cena. So it just came off so, and that's the one thing. Like, I'm not a Cena hater, like a lot of people. The worst thing I dislike about Cena was when he is in his petty version. That whole, oh, you beat me, it don't mean nothing, now you finally pissed me off, and I'm still the man, and you ain't never did nothing. Like, he is a sore-ass loser. Like a real sore loser. And the only time he wasn't really a sore loser when he wrestled somebody was Daniel Bryan, because he was hurt and then left. And The Rock, where he went the opposite way, like, because I lost, got divorced, and my life fell apart. Which was hilarious. It's like, I know they want to build, like, make Matt, like, wins and losses seem important. I was like, get over it. Like, maybe you need to see a therapist. Like, they actually had on TV, like, you know, I lost my wife because of this. You know, my life's in shambles. I haven't been able to sleep. I need to win. And he, like, it would have been funny, except for the fact that he actually got divorced. And it's like, I remember The Rock doing the whole Rock concert, making a joke when Cena and Eve Torres were doing the thing, talking about, you know, divorce lawyers up the block. Like, he didn't tell Eve he had a wife. And it was funny when it happened, but it wasn't funny, like, months later when Cena actually got divorced. And then they used that in the storyline. It's like,
Little too soon, guys. A little too soon.
Yeah, but it was almost like it was too, like, it was almost like foreshadowed. Like, he did that, and then down the road, he got divorced, and then he uses his divorce as a storyline. So, beyond the whole how they pushed Cena stuff, like, the match was awesome. It was a great match. They worked well together. And the crowd cheered the finish. Like, they enjoyed Cena winning. And there was a little kid next to us where we were sitting. Like, it was a father and his son. The son had to have been maybe, what, 4 or 5 years old. He was bawling his eyes out when AJ Styles lost. I have never seen that before. Like, I've seen people cry when Cena's lost. I've never seen, like, a little kid cry when a heel's lost a match.
Yeah, that would be a first for me, too. To see a child booing crying over a heel losing. That's a strange one. Although that could have been Jeremy as a child. So.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Jeremy always rooted for the bad guy anyway. That says a lot about Jeremy. And we both said, but no. And not only did the kid cry, he was still sad. Like during the Rumble, like we left, and he was still kind of like, he was just getting over it. Like, he was down the rest of the damn night, and I felt bad for him. And like, okay, the kid had, like, a nice polo shirt, like, you know, him and his dad dressed as a nine, so I guess, like, a certain caliber of fan would care and appreciate AJ Styles and not be one of these doofuses just cheering for John Cena because rise above whatever.
Well, and I think you kind of said something that was important because we can move along to the Rumble itself, is just the outcome of the Rumble ended up having bearing on the end of this Cena-Styles match. When you see that great match and Cena goes over, you're like, oh, come on, man. Like, they really... like you said, AJ Styles showed off everything that he can do. And he hung with Cena on the mic on SmackDown. Like, despite any wrongdoing by Cena, I think that Styles still had held up his end of the bargain. Like, I don't think that guy's going anywhere. And he'll have the title again sooner rather than later. But,
yeah.
And, you know, but to go back to my point, like, is when Randy Orton ended up winning the Rumble, is kind of like, seriously? Those two guys? Like, it went from being, I'm okay with Cena winning because it was an awesome match to, oh, fuck, really? Those guys from that long ago are both going to be in the WrestleMania main event?
And you know what's hilarious, and it builds into the match? When we heard that Randy Orton was the favorite, we were all thinking, like, why? Like, that's the whole thing. It's kind of like, because you guys were talking about, like, we didn't know who would win the match. Because it's kind of like, we didn't know. So then when it came out, like, oh, yeah, Randy Orton's the favorite, we were like, that's the whole thing. It wasn't even math, like, why? Like, it's 2017. It's not 2005. It's not 2009. It's not 2011. It's not even 2015. Like,
yeah, because, I mean, he at least felt like he had some business. Oh, hold on. That was Triple H and, no. Was it Orton and Batista against Daniel Bryan?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, like, at least in that match, I kind of felt like Orton still had the ability to be in that match. But now, Nah.
I mean, even when he came, even when he turned face again, like, up until he got, he was fine until he got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then he came back, and then for whatever he did, like, we're just going to have him get slaughtered by Brock Lesnar. I guess that was the deal, like, okay, Brock Lesnar's going to kill you half to death, but if you survive, you're going to get a title match at Mania. Like, he basically made a deal with the devil. So, because that, remember, that Lesnar-Orton match came out of, like, we were thinking, like, why are they wrestling? Like, not like it wasn't, not like it was a bad matchup. It just came out of nowhere. Like, you wouldn't expect it, like, Randy Orton to fight Brock Lesnar in 2016. And it wasn't built up beside their two legends. And, you know, Randy Orton's a third generation, blah, 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 and all that. So, but having said all that, the way they set up the match had everybody in the stadium cheering for Randy Orton when he won.
No.
And I laughed. I'm like, Vince knows exactly what he's doing. Like, I think he learned his lesson from last, like, from doing this Roman Reigns stuff last year. Like, somehow he got The Rock to get booed because he tried to push Roman Reigns down people's throat. And this year was a setup where we might as well go to the Rumble. Like, I enjoyed the Rumble. It was funny being around fans because they were like, is Kurt Angle going to come out? Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, and people counting down the thing. But basically how the Rumble would work.
Uh-huh.
They count down the time, people stand up, they see who it is, and then they sit back down.
Yeah.
Watch Prince repeat. And that whole 2 minute interval, no. It's like a minute. Sometimes it's 45 seconds, sometimes a minute and a half. Like I was just curious to see the time. Like the first time was like a minute and 15 seconds. And it usually could have been like around a minute and a half. And sometimes it was like 45 seconds. It basically like depending on who came out and how the crowd was reacting.
Yeah, I've heard it mentioned quite a number of times that the time that's quoted is never reliable, whether it's been 90 seconds or 2 minutes. But I do not have the time in my evening to actually be using a stopwatch for that.
Ooh, are you watching this?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, they spend all that time to put tape on there for a talking segment, but that's neither here nor there. So, of course, they had the cards thing. Some people who were over, like, you know, Enzo and Cass were talking.
Oh, right.
Just because, but Cass is so damn awkward. Because I talk like this because I am going to do this to get to WrestleMania and win the match because bah, bah, bah. And if you do not like this, I will say you are S-A-W. Yeah, like, no. Like, hearing that is live. Like, I was waiting for somebody to put the battery, take the battery out his back. The funny thing is, when he's just talking like in normal segments or like non-promo stuff, he sounds like a normal human being. He sounds fine.
Yeah.
When they turn that mic on, he reading that WWE script, he sounds like Test with a concussion. Like, good God.
Yeah. I think I confused those two states for him being okay. But I think it's more like you said, like when they give him the material to go out to the ring, it's more clunky than if they just, like, even when he was talking backstage with Enzo during the whole, at the beginning of the whole Lana thing, like, he sounded far more natural, you know, like giving his buddy don't hit on the married woman advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I've seen enough non-ring stuff to know that he's intelligent, he can talk. I think it's just like a same issue Roman Reigns and a lot of people like that. Everybody can't do that WWE script talk. It's like almost like Star. It's like George Lucas stuff where Harrison Ford said, you know, you can write the shit, but you can't say it.
I think it's a four-legged animal.
And I think that plays like WWE. Like, you know, stuff may may sound cool on paper, but when you say it out loud, it just sounds awkward. And yeah, so he came out. People love Jericho. Like Jericho was one of the most over people there. Kalisto was like, eh. Mojo Rawley was like, eh.
Yeah, they not too surprisingly, they sent out a lot of the. I think both Chris and Jeremy and I talked about how there weren't that many people. You didn't know that. Oh, I guess Mojo Rawley did win a spot. I'd already forgotten that he had earned a spot.
Oh, but we were doing play the whole count game, like, you know, it was like, we know it's like 23, 24. So once it got in 20, we were wondering, like, how many secret spots are left, which led to a lot of disappointment. We'll get there. So when Mark Henry came out, he, you know, he got cheered because he's verbally used the magic card. He's from Texas, so he got that Texas pop. It was a big, nice pop when him and Braun, you know, stood against each other. And when he got tossed, he got booed. Jack Gallagher got the first big laugh, and it was funny. Like, I laughed at Michael Cole, and I used the same line. I even know, like, I called him a Mary Poppins elbow drop. Because that stuff with the umbrella was, I know it was goofy, but it was funny. Like, we were just laughing. It was so damn absurd. And we were wondering, like, what's this? Why does somebody just come down there with, like, an axe or a baseball bat? Like, he's just in the ring just hitting people with an umbrella, and nobody's saying anything.
Yeah, I guess they don't really say if it's a no DQ match or anything like that. They've never really made it a point to use too much weaponry. Anyone, honestly. I mean, there's always the shenanigans of someone getting pulled out of the ring by someone who is already out, but I can't think of too many instances. I mean, and using an umbrella, as you mentioned, is kind of a bit of a understated way of cheating.
Yeah, so Braun Strowman came out, and, like, you know, him tossing people, like, when he tossed Kalisto, that got a pop, because Kalisto looked like a damn water balloon. Like, he just flew through it. Like, and it's different, like, he's thrown jobbers before, and, like, Kalisto's not that big, but Kalisto's not a child either. Like, stuff like that just shows how strong Strowman is. You know, when Big Show came, he had the cart too. Yeah. And seeing them standoffs, I'm like, you know, that just shows you how big Big Show is. Because Big Show made Braun Strowman look small. And Braun Strowman is not small. So it's like, Big Show looked like a damn dinosaur. Even like the slimmed down Big Show is still Big Show. He looked like a damn dinosaur.
Yeah, there's only so much you can hide your physique when you're 7'2". And actually 7'2" and not like 6'10" like Big Cass. Mm-hmm. Or whatever he is, 6'9", maybe.
Yeah, I will say this. When it was Sami Zayn, who was it, Jericho? Whoever it was, when they jumped, and Baron Corbin, when they tossed out Braun Strowman, that got a pop. Like, I was surprised, like, they eliminated Braun. Like, you know, I'm not surprised that Baron Corbin was the one to do it, but that got them over. When Ellsworth came out, people start rolling their eyes and laughing.
As they should have.
Yeah, that was funny. And when Dean Ambrose came out, like, Dean is over. Like, when he had the little segment, when they were doing the whole tumbler balls, he pulled out, like, oh, it's 8. Hold up, it's upside down. It's 8.
Oh.
Like, that got a damn lot. Like, people like Dean Ambrose, because he just seems, like, regular.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so that whole segment where he threw Ellsworth pin, got cheered. But it's basically like people are just counting down, waiting, like, you know, people start getting tired, like, okay, when's the big guys going to come in? And, you know, people stand up, sit down. Once Brock Lesnar came out, no one sat down anymore. Like, the rest of the match, people stood up, like, in the arena. Like, when Brock came out, I was like, okay, the Royal Rumble's really starting. Let's get to it. And him just suplexing people, one-arm suplexing, like, F5s and just tossing people. It's kind of like, yeah, this man is a damn monster. And, of course, you're thinking Goldberg's going to come out next. And, of course, it's Enzo. Yeah, like, that was I was at first mad that they wasted a spot with him, but considering how entertaining he was, it wasn't necessarily a wasted spot because it was enjoyable seeing him basically get sacrificed. Oh, and we almost skipped one of the most important things.
Oh.
Ty Dillinger coming out at 10. Ty Dillinger being loved. Like, they loved his ass in San Antonio. Like, the music hit. Everybody gets up, start cheering. He comes out with the vest. Every time he did offensive move, they threw a 10. Everything he did, they chant 10. When he got tossed, people were pissed. Like, he was over.
Yeah,
I have no idea why, but yes, it wasn't just an NXT thing. Like, he was over at the Rumble.
Yeah, there was a large swath of people, like, on the hard camera, facing the hard camera there. It was just like, oh my god. Like, it seemed like almost the whole shot had tens. I was like, good lord.
Yeah, so that was a thing, and kudos to him. So, of course, I know people wonder, like, is this Goldberg thing going to fade? Nope, because from, like, 17, I don't know if the Mike picked it up on TV, from, like, maybe 17, 18, to, like, he came out, people were waiting for Goldberg. They start chanting Goldberg, like, all right, come out. His music hit, everybody start cheering. You know, the fireworks come, he stroll his ass down. When he blitzed Brock Lesnar, people lost their damn mind. Not like in a, like, I'm pissed off way, like, I can't believe this happened again. This is so damn awesome. And keep in mind, it's a crowd that loves Brock Lesnar.
Uh-huh.
They just love watching Goldberg. Like, it's funny. Watching Brock Lesnar be this big bully, just get his ass beat consistently by basically Jewish Superman, is enjoyable. Like, it happened in... It was, of course, we had a stereotypical wrestling fan. Like, there were two wrestling fans behind us. And they were like, you know, they were booking, I do this, this, and guy. I told Jerry, was this one guy. He had on a Kevin Owens shirt. He was probably bigger than Kevin Owens, but he had the Finn Balor face paint on his face.
Oh.
Yes. So I'm watching nice. This, and I'm like, boy, way to hedge your bets, huh? What I'm thinking is watching this. So when Lesnar got tossed, they sat down, they folded their arms, they, like, pouty faces, and I just started laughing. So, Goldberg tossed Lesnar. Then Undertaker came out of nowhere. That got a big pop. And then, you know, as we come, we're waiting, like, who's going to be 30? Oh, and people were wondering. I heard people say it's going to be Samoa. Like, most of the section was thinking maybe they wanted Samoa Joe. A lot of people were saying Finn Balor. A few people say, oh, maybe it might be Nakamura, might be Kurt Angle. Oh, when Roman Reigns' music hit, I have never heard, and this is no hyperbole, I have never heard booze as loud as I heard. And that's even when I heard Roman Reigns get booed in San Jose. He got booed a lot then.
Right.
He got booed in Dallas too. Oh, they hated that man. Like, people were chanting this, they were chanting bullshit. Like, they were already mad because the Titantron had acted up earlier during the Royal Rumble, like two of the screens, and it's like the big view where you can see from the stands. Two of the sides went out. One side came back after like a minute. The other side, it took like maybe 10 to 15 minutes. People started chanting, like, you know, fix the screen, like the new day beat, or like, we can't see shit. They were chanting that. So, yeah, so that finally got fixed. So, but no, when Roman Reigns came out, oh, I started laughing. I laughed my ass off because it was just so damn absurd. Because I wasn't even thinking, like, you know, of all the people to come out, I didn't even think about Roman Reigns coming out because he already wrestled. So he coming out and there's everybody turning on him. And just in case you might be on the fence, when he eliminated Undertaker, that was it. It was like, people were like, fuck this man. Fuck this match. They was like chanting, this is bullshit. Very loud and very long. And I'm just laughing like, this is insane. Like, this could not have been. And then you know what I was thinking? This is how they're going to get Randy Orton chaired. Because I'm thinking, like, how else could you have Randy Orton win the Royal Rumble in San Antonio and people not crack over that? By having somebody worse, more hated, do hateful things and then want people to root for him. And I started laughing. I like, Vince, you sneaky bastard. Like, once I put two and two together, I just started laughing. And people were mad. They were very mad.
Yeah, that was... I did find that quite funny. Like, I honestly, if Reigns would have won, I would have been laughing even harder. Just because if there's an ultimate fuck you to the crowd, that would have been it. Just like, no, screw you guys. We're still sticking to Roman Reigns. Fuck off.
Yeah, like, you wanted Samoa Joe. Like my friend Rich said, you wanted Samoa Joe. We're going to give you some Bowen named Joe. And I'm just laughing. And I will say this, when Luke Harper turned on the Wyatts, they got a big pop. Like,
oh, okay. You know,
because we were wondering how that was coming. But it was funny where they were having their beef and then Randy Orton jumped in. And it was like Randy Orton was the new girlfriend fighting the ex-girlfriend. So, but no. So it came down to Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. So it's kind of like, they're not going to have Roman eliminate both of them. Or we wanted, like, you know, because they teased, like, Randy Orton turning on Bray Wyatt. So when Luke Harper did it, it was kind of, like, out of nowhere. So, of course, you know, they had a match, so they're setting up for, you know, the Sister Abigail RKO. So he breaks it up, tosses out Bray, and then people are losing their mind, like, it's brewing the match crazy. So Roman sent up the spear, Randy Orton is the RKO, toss him out, and everybody's happy.
Hey.
And people go home happy.
Yeah, people go home happy. The internet explodes. that was kind of a funny part of the whole thing is that, I mean, you could tell that everyone was into it crowd-wise. Mm-hmm. But I looked online, I'm like, ooh, people are not happy about this.
No, somebody posted a video like crowd read, like home reactions of, you know, when Roman Reigns was 30. And, you know, a lot of those things are like kind of staged. I bet you a lot of them weren't staged because there was a lot of people at the stadium that was kind of feeling that way. Like, I think it was the funny thing was not just that he came out, but he came out like 30 and people were like hoping for like Samoa Joe or Kurt Angle or somebody special.
Yeah, because
they weren't really like Todd Dillinger was the only like new person that was in the Rumble. Like when you think about like, because you think about like his 20 something spots, but it's like, you know, Enzo was one, and Apollo Crews was one.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like I forgot all about Dolph Ziggler, and people get to get more and more frustrated. It's kind of like, okay, we thinking we might get like Shelton Benjamin. And Samoa Joe and somebody else. Let's just at least get one guy, and you don't get any. And not only that, you don't get any, you get Roman Reigns. It's like, imagine you thinking you're going to get an Xbox for Christmas, and then you open up and you got a box of napkins. like, yeah, napkins are fine, but I didn't want this for Christmas. And it's the same box of napkins that you used an hour ago. And then that box of napkins just tip over your PlayStation, just breaks it. That's how Roman Reigns was. Like, I already saw you once. Now I got to see you again instead of Samoa Joe. And then you get rid of The Undertaker. Like, yeah. He earned that hate. Like, that could not have been by accident. Like, I know Vince is Vince is stubborn, but Vince ain't. Vince does stupid things, but he's not stupid. Like, he had to have known.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. I would think so. And, I mean, it's a good way to get all those guys out of a match. And, out of the title picture. Just because they are all monsters.
Yeah, speaking of monsters, as Braun Strowman does monster things. So, but no, it's funny, like, you have the match set up. So, a lot of people have a lot of options. Like, you know, Braun Strowman has beef with Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns has beef with Braun Strowman. Undertaker's also mad at Roman Reigns. I guess Kevin Owens is going to be mad at Braun Strowman, what he just did to Chris Jericho. Like, you have all the stuff on, you know, Goldberg and Lesnar. And, like, a lot of talk is, like, you know, I was listening to Meltzer, like, sooner or later, Lesnar's going to have the championship again. And I remember the talk was thinking, like, the talk went from, you know, is he going to resign? So, like, yeah, he may be champion. So Roman Reigns wrestles him, like, down the road at, like, SummerSlam. So, because it's almost, like, it's funny how Braun Strowman went to this guy nobody likes. So people going to be mad when he gets set up as a monster only to lose to Roman Reigns, to make Roman Reigns look good. Because it's kind of like, they could solve a lot of problems if they just made Roman Reigns heel. Like, they really could. But I know why they want to push him as a babyface, and I understand all the qualities, but it's not working, and he's not. John Cena earned that level. Like, he was a good babyface. He was a great babyface before he got turned on. Roman Reigns was never a great babyface. He was just a likable heel. And then they was like, he's such a badass heel, let's book him like John Cena. And it didn't work.
Yeah. they need to use a new tact for him. But yeah, I guess it'll be interesting moving forward.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of time in between now and WrestleMania, so I guess my full freak out is not completely ready to go. Honestly, but you know, it I'm not all that bummed that I'm not going to WrestleMania. At the present time, I'm not bummed that I'm not going to WrestleMania.
Yeah. Like, I'm not either, because one, like, even though it's been my first year, in 6 years I haven't gone, it's like, I went to the Rumble, I'm going to Survivor Series, I know I'm going to WrestleMania next year if I'm alive. It's kind of like, I know, and it's Orlando, and, I mean, cities matter. Like, you know.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, like, you know, if it's a city I haven't been to or a city I wanted to go, that's one thing. But, I mean, Orlando, no thanks. And, the thing about San Antonio was, at least, I mean, it took like maybe 25, 30 minutes to get out of like the parking area. But that wasn't too bad. I've had worse. Like, Miami was still the worst. That was almost 3 hours. And my hotel was only like a 20-minute drive away. And it took me 3 hours to get home because it took an hour and just got the parking lot.
Ugh.
And it took another 2 hours from the time I got out of the parking lot to actually leave because people were going 6 miles an hour. And it was like 5 accidents. So, yeah. Yeah, so that's why I started thinking, like, I want to have locations as close to the stadium as possible.
Oh.
Like, San Jose was like San Jose, New Orleans was easy to get around because San Jose, my hotel was like right around the corner from the state. Like, it was like a block away, so I could just walk.
Oh.
New Orleans was like a 6 minute walk. So, yeah. Those were fun.
New Orleans is, that's why when New Orleans came up for WrestleMania next year, I'm like, yep. It was by far my favorite WrestleMania city to be in. Detroit, we did go out some, but we didn't go out a lot. And then Orlando was just a pain in the ass because you had to drive everywhere. New Orleans, yeah. You don't drive anywhere.
Yeah. Like, we just drove to get to New Orleans. Like, once we got to New Orleans, we walked everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a walking city. And it says a lot where it wasn't that long, like, it was, what, 3 years ago that they had Mania there? Three or four?
Yeah, three.
And they're getting it again? Like, that says a lot. It's kind of like, we made a lot of money. It's easy to get here. People liked it. Like, it's kind of like, they know they had a good thing when they had it. and for them to go back that soon. And it's funny because I remember, like, people were talking about Philly. Like, you know, they were rumored to kind of get it next year. I guess they'll probably get it maybe the year after because they got the Rumble this year.
Yeah.
So, I know Jeremy is probably losing his mind because he loves watching two fat people fight. As he watches them ramp it up and, like, underdog Kevin Owens using his weight to try to, like, steal his way into a win. I know they can't have Braun win the title. I know Jeremy wants that. Would just be out of.
Oh, yeah. I crushed his dream earlier today when he was trying to find some way for it to be a Wyatt family triple threat and Luke Harper winning the WWE title.
Yes, he's the biggest. I love Luke Harper. I'm mad that he doesn't do the whole yeah thing anymore. But Luke ain't winning the championship no time soon. Although, you know, he's talented enough to be a SmackDown champion. I'm just amazed watching Braun Strowman basically destroy Seattle. Whose music is this? Oh. Because why not? I guess we were having so much fun. The Grinch that stole happiness, Roman Reigns.
Oh, well, he was the Grinch at the Royal Rumble. He is a Grinch again tonight.
You know what? Before we end the show, that says a lot that we're mad that Roman Reigns is interfering with Braun Strowman. Like, Braun Strowman is more likable than Roman Reigns. And I wonder how, it's kind of like, it's funny because these are two stereotypical Vince McMahon guys. And you would think you would be behind Roman Reigns, but it's kind of like, you know, no, I'm not. I want this big evil Braun Strowman to win because I'm tired of Roman Reigns didn't do anything wrong but exists. Oh, well, such is life.
Yep.
Life's not always fair.
No, it is not. So, for the brand at Stunt Granny, I'm DeFrango 11. That's Shaw Farm D. That was our Royal Rumble review. Well, I guess time to actually listen to the sound on Raw now.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahido Dohati, and remember the Rumble. We are out.